If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we will be talking about the Illini going into next man up mode, but it wasn't enough to pull out the victory over Indiana at the Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana. On today's show, we will have Illini guy Brad Sturdy, Illini guy Director of Recruiting Kedrick Prince, and Illini guy's staff writer Matt Stevens, who was at the game. Of course, if you enjoy what you hear on this podcast, Eye on the Illini is powered by IlliniGuys.com. That is where you can find out everything about the Illini. $99 a year, and you can get all the scoops, all the things that are going on. And more importantly, you can go back into our message boards and our forums, and you can have interactive interchanges with Illini fans across the world. And you can ask questions of Brad, Ked, Matt, Larry, and myself, and get all up to date on everything going on with the Illini. So with that, let's go into our first commercial break, and we will be back with the guys in a flash.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
So, Brad, we watched a game that Illinois got smoked by Indiana last time. Trace Jackson Davis went, you know, just crazy on him. And then without Terrence Shannon Jr., who was leading the team in scoring, Illinois goes into a hostile Assembly Hall, loses by 3 points, really a one-point game, and it happened in the last 35, 40 seconds. Your initial thoughts?
I thought they competed. I thought they did a great job competing, battling. Obviously undermanned, but that allowed some other people to have to step up, gave them some opportunities, and it just didn't work out. I mean, I'm not, you know, and obviously it's about winning or losing or whatever it is. You know, you can say obviously college basketball, but at the same time, this is a really, really tough venue to play in. Indiana is, as we know, they just, you know, just beat Purdue there in Assembly Hall. This is it's a tough place to play. And they went in against the hottest player in college basketball, probably. I mean, I didn't even realize since the turn of the year, he's 23-13 and like five assists. I mean, so, and he got his 26, but Illinois did a great job on him making it tough. He had five turnovers, which is something he hasn't done. He only had two assists, and yeah, he was 9 of 17 too. So he didn't exactly, you know, he had his points, but he didn't light it up. So this is, or whatever, 19, whatever, but 12, regardless, 19, yeah, 12, 19. But I mean, this is what, just how you had to play him. They did a good enough job there. I thought they got a bad whistle. The Coleman Hawkins technical ranks right up there with the RJ Melendez technical of a year ago. It was complete and utter travesty. That official, I'm sorry, Kelly Pfeiffer should be suspended. I'm tired, and the problem I have, and it should be public, and everybody should know about when these guys do this stuff. Because when your guys are running full speed and they bump into each other and you're trying to call foul. It's hard. I've officiated and I know it's hard. And these guys are high level athletes. That's just a bullcrap call. I mean, there's no reason to call that.
I agree.
Especially then later in the game, Trayce Jackson Davis can dunk and get a 3-point play and scream about it and hang on the rim a little bit. And we don't call a technical then. So it there's no consistency, and that's my problem with all the officiating in college basketball. But I was proud of this Illinois team. I thought they did a great job of battling, competing. They made a lot of freshman mistakes. Their freshmen, I thought they did – Rogers and Epps did some really good things, but I thought Rogers, Epps, and Harris all struggled with things at times during this game. So, I thought overall – pretty good effort. Matthew Meyer was fantastic in the first half, but as we've seen, teams take away some things and they guard him a little better and makes it tough. He has to put the ball on the floor and go to the basket, and he still finished with 22 points. It's not like he had a bad game, but you can't ride one guy. You need that other guy to go with him, and they don't really have that guy when Shannon's out.
Ed? Well, today was tough. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Today was gut-wrenching for me. I'm sitting here right now, and it is hard for me to just not even – I don't even think I can see straight. I'm just frustrated on so many levels. I don't even know where to begin, Mike and Brad. I really don't. You lead the whole game. I mean, pretty much the whole game, the whole second half. You lose at the last minute. You know, there's just so many things that – I don't want to ruin this podcast for all the listeners out there. I don't. But I'm tired of officiating. I just am. Brad, you mentioned a couple of ones. How about the rebound when Coleman Hawkins gets the ball and you grab his arm? I don't give a damn what anybody's trying to tell me. Be stronger with the ball. You can't grab people's arms. I don't care. Whether it's on a home or road, some of these guys need to retire. And the one call I've been saying this for 20 years, damn it, if you don't see it, don't call it. If you see it, call it. And you know what? The role thing, yeah, is different. I remember in the 80s and 90s, they used to be really dominant. That shouldn't be like that anymore. The athletes are good. More teams are winning on the road. But then you get a bunch of older guys out there who shouldn't be out there. And it's frustrating. Now, Illinois didn't help themselves. I mean, they didn't with a couple of things. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't want anybody messaging me on Illini guys or tweeting me, telling me that Brad Underwood didn't make adjustments, because they did. They doubled down. They made things tough. There was help defense. They blocked shots. They played well enough to win today. They really did. And does this stink to lose? Yes. I know people are frustrated because, to me, I'm sitting here watching what Indiana did the last time. Going into this game today, I'm not an odds guy. I tweet that stuff, but I don't even understand the odds half the time of how they bet. I understand the basics of it. But I knew Illinois was going to lose today. But then when you watch them play the way they played today, they gave an effort. Today, honestly, not against Penn State, but today gave me a lot of more hopes for the NCAA tournament. They play like an NCAA tournament team without a guy who averages 17.5 points a game. They gave Indiana all they wanted today. You know, to me, the better team didn't win today, but that happens in sports. You know, I feel bad for Jaden Epps. You know, everybody in the world knows, like, the worst kept secret in the world. RJ's unhappy, looks miserable. And RJ, if you're listening to this podcast, I don't know if you are or not. If you leave, it's going to stink. But if you think going to another school is going to make it better for you and the ball's going to go to the basket, son, you're kidding yourself. You got to put the ball in the basket. I understand jump shots, but damn it, you missed 3 or 4 layups. That didn't cost you the game. But running away, leaving, you got to man up. You get an opportunity. You started today. You start at the beginning of the season. You got to convert. So running away, if that's what you do, I hope you don't. But you had opportunities. And I'm saying this because people want to criticize and say, Brad Underwood, why these kids leave. I tell you right now, Matthew Meyer is a better basketball player since he got to Illinois. So is Coleman Hawkins. Jaden Epps is a better basketball player since the beginning of the season. Coleman Hawkins was a 3-star recruit, probably the only one on the team, if my memory serves me correctly. And he's going to be probably out of all the kids on the team, he's going to get drafted. Quit blaming the coach every time. Is he perfect? No. But today, he made adjustments.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. You know, you don't want to get into the moral victory stuff. But the fact of the matter is you're taking, you know, you're probably in arguably the second toughest venue in the Big Ten. I got to put Purdue at number one. Now, people may disagree with me, but my God, coming out of there, I felt like I was at an airport. My ears hurt so bad. But you're going into there the first time that Epps has been there, first time Meyer's been there, first time, you know, that you've had Rogers there. And so you've got a lot of guys who were going in and playing Harris as well in a tough venue. You came close, and I'll be honest, the two things that if I was going to, you know, sit down and say, okay, guys, let's talk about what we can control. The first thing is bunnies. You know, Illinois is one of the top teams in the country at hitting twos. And at the start of the game, you know, Brad kind of referenced this, but they missed, I don't know, four or five layups early on in the game. They could have put this game fairly well out of range, you know, with some, but they didn't. It's life. And then the other thing, and I know that, you know, when we talk about reffing, and I wasn't happy about the reffing, and I'll explain it to you why, although I think it was painful for both teams. Illinois actually shot more free throws than Indiana, and they were 14 for 18. Now, again, you don't expect to hit all of them, but if you hit four more free throws, you win this game. Those two things are first on my mind. And then I will say that technical foul, if you look at a game that was essentially a one-point game, that thing becomes a huge call. And, you know, Brad outlined his case. I'm not going to say too much more about that, but I'll tell you what really gave me heart for this team is they're cutting their turnovers down, you know, significantly. They had 11. Now I don't see the number of possessions in front of me, but they had 11 as a whole number. They actually stayed under Indiana. You know, they were one foul under Indiana. So they played well under pressure, and it just comes to, I'm not certain what it takes. Cause I will say Underwood does not scream at guys for shots. You know, he's not Lou Henson where you take a shot and miss and you get hooked out of the game, but they just need to start hitting a few of their shots. They ended up shooting 39% from the field and 30% from the 3-point line. You know, and bottom line is you expect 35% out of a high school team. And if you just make two more free throws, you're at that, or two more threes, you're at that 35% level and you win this game by a couple points. So if he can work on their confidence, I still feel like Illinois could be one of those teams that can go on a roll at the end of the year. That's how I feel. And again, I'm not a homer. People know that I've been frustrated with this team, but I thought this was back to back one of their better performances all year. They did it in a tough house against arguably the second best player in the conference and maybe the second best player in the country. I don't know, Brad, talk me out of it. Where am I wrong here?
No, I think you're right. I think Trace Jackson Davis is better than Zach Edey. He maybe not as dominant, but he's a better player.
Okay.
He does
more
things.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, right now, I mean, you look at his numbers since the turn of the year. He started off a little slow, his back problems and things. And Indiana's a better team when they get Thompson back too, I think. You know, but so I kind of look at it. I agree with you. The other thing I'll say where Illinois struggled, we talked about missing shots. Their transition decision-making is some of the worst. I mean, they take threes. That guys who are, you know, and I'm not bagging on Jaden Epps, but he's one for his last 20 from three, and he's pulling up from three in transition when Dane Danger's standing under the rim. Yeah. You've got, you know, and Meyer was on a heater, but you had a dunk. I mean, you had a 2-on-1 layup. Now, they also missed. RJ Melendez missed a layup, got the rebound and missed it again, then missed another layup. I mean, just almost virtually uncontested or right at the rim shots. And they're all in transition. And then Sincere Harris drove down the lane. He did get whacked a couple of times. But then they took Ty Rogers took a couple of no-look shots again, which was cool once. But I think it's probably not the shot to take anymore. You know, so those are the kind of things. I think it's just decision-making. And I keep thinking they're going to get a little bit better. And they do for stretches. And then they go back into that, not that poor decision-making thing. But I guess that's freshman to a certain extent, I think. And even Dane Danger. You essentially have four guys playing huge, playing big minutes right now. And you, I'll throw in Luke Goody because he didn't play that much last year. So you got five guys who are right now at this point in the season have played very, you know, Luke's played less than all those guys, you know, when you count last year and this year. So five guys who haven't played much college basketball. It shouldn't be surprising that they make poor decisions at times. And I'm not saying Luke does, but I'm just saying in general, it shouldn't be that surprising that they make some poor decisions and that they're going to get better. I was talking to a coach that I greatly respect just a few minutes ago on Twitter. He sent me a message and he said, this may be one of those games that's a turning point in a loss because they had to play without Shannon. And you had guys like Rogers and even Melendez. And I know people are down on RJ Melendez, but Jalen Hood-Schifino didn't score very many when RJ Melendez was on him today because he did a better job of fighting through that screen and making that tough. And he didn't foul him. Like I thought, you know, Ty fouled him a couple of times that hurt. But overall, I think then you've got Rogers and Harris and Epps and Goody and Danger. They're getting valuable experience. Even Brandon Lieb got a little bit of experience today. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing all the way, but he got a little bit of experience. So they're going to get better. And like he said, this may Shannon being out may actually make them better down the road because now these guys are learning to do things. Now when Shannon comes back, it's not all dump the ball to Terrence, throw it to Matt and play ISO. They can go make plays. And so I think that's I think that might be a bright spot down the stretch. They've got a very good, you know, say what you want. They've got games. You got home game against Minnesota, home game against Northwestern, home game against Michigan. Those are three games you need to win. You've got a game at Ohio State. Ohio State might be the biggest disappointment, and they're playing so badly right now. It's amazing. So you got those four games before you close at Purdue. Win the next four games.
Yep.
It's ripe. It's right there. Go take it. You know, and then see what happens at Purdue, and you feel pretty good about finishing up strong like that.
Ed? Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing, Mike, you mentioned earlier that I think we should give them credit for is they had 11 turnovers today. I think at Penn State they had 8. You know, they had 8 against Penn State, 11 today against Indiana. That's growth to me. That shows you that the team is getting better. And Brad, whoever that coach was, I agree. I just don't have – I'm not man enough to say that today because it stinks watching them lose. Because today, I can say to you, I can't speak for you two. I knew today – I thought today – I didn't know. I thought today we were going to get blown out. I really did. I thought they'd go to Indiana in that environment, like I mentioned, and lose by 10 or 15 points. But that didn't happen. And if you look at Illinois basketball, and if you're an analyst and you're not a fan of Indiana or Illinois and you look at both teams, and you put them in the NCAA tournament, if they're both a 6 or 7 seed, whatever you want to put, I like my chances with Illinois. Because Illinois defended Trace today, and I think what's happening now with guys like Trace and even teams like Purdue, teams are figuring them out. Illinois has too many weapons, and it's hard to key on one guy. You know, I guess if there was a complaint I had, and I'm not really mad at the kids today, I'm going to be honest with you, not disappointed. As a kid, if I had to be one negative, I mean, Dane, we all love him. We all think he's going to be, he has a tremendous upside. But teams have figured out when he puts that ball on the floor, he's so loose with it. He's getting it swiped at horrible times because he's not tight with it. You know what? I can't even say it's not enough playing enough because, hell, they play, what, 25 games so far this season, whatever the record is. So he's got to be a little bit better than that, I think. The one guy I think is really going to help, and this was, you know, you obviously don't want to see Terrence Shannon sit, but today we saw what Luke Goody could bring to the team today. Even the shot that he misses, they came in and came out. They look like there's a chance they can go in. I think not having him this year probably did cost him a few games because Luke is solid. He plays good defense. He doesn't turn the ball over, and he can shoot it. I mean, his shot looks like it did when he was in high school. And he's a lot stronger. So, I mean, it's going to be nice to have him back. And when all the pieces are put together, like Brad mentioned, now you got to win the game you're supposed to win. This thing's losing today. It really does because I think they were the better team. And, you know, they did. You know, they shot free throws well today. And, I mean, overall, even like Ty Rogers, coming into his own. He's been great the last two games. Here's a guy that, you know, we all believed all the hype in the beginning, and then he, you know, he struggled a little bit, and now he's figured it out. You know, and to me, also, if they could knock down a few more threes, just a little bit. I mean, you get some from Jaden Epps, you know, I think that's great. You didn't see Coleman's 30-foot heat check today. At least I don't remember seeing that. You know,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, he's made some of them. And I know, guys, it stinks. But, and I'll tell you, I watched the game. This is comical kind of, and then I'll move on. I got to watch the game with Deion Thomas. Came to the Quad Cities today, and we were sitting together. And it was funny because people were looking at both of us because of what we do. Because today we got to be fans. And I'm hitting the table. Deion is mad. I thought he was going to throw a chicken wing. And so I looked at him and I said, isn't this nice if we can sit here and enjoy the game and not have to be quiet? And I asked him if he was nervous. He said, yes, he does. He was never nervous as a player, but as a fan, just sitting there watching the game, he said, I'm just like everybody else. So I just want to put that out there. It was really nice watching the game with him. And, you know, and he saw a couple of things. And just hearing his analysis of the game was great today. So it wasn't a bad day overall, but he said the same thing. Long term, he thinks this team has what it takes to win. And that's not on him saying that because of what he does.
Yeah, and I'll say a couple things. First off, you know, I thought that there were times when the Illini offense put Dane Danger in a bad place. There were three or four possessions in a row where he got the ball at like 12 to 15 feet. And you just got to minimize that because that puts him in a place, like you said, Ked, it's just not his optimal place to get the ball. And hopefully, you know, other players will recognize that a little bit. You know, with Luke Goody starting to come on, I think that's going to help the three-point thing. And let me go back to the ref thing, because I don't think the refs cost them the game, although that was a frustrating technical. My problem with the refs is in the first half, they called 12 fouls. In the second half, they called 21 fouls. And they had 8 fouls in the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. So they changed how, again, yet another game where at the halftime, I don't know what the hell the refs do. I mean, you know, do they go in there and get on a sugar high? They get too much, you know, Coca-Cola and come out all jumpy. I don't know. But then in the second half, and Illinois did not take advantage of this. But, you know, the first half, there was only 8 free throws in the whole first half. Second half, there were 23. Illinois shot a respectable, you know, they only missed 4 free throws. Second half, but again, I would like to personally, as a guy watching, I think Illinois plays better when it's more up and down. And when you start having those breaks for foul call, free throws, foul call, you know, you start having that, you end up that's just not Illinois' game because they're more of an up and down team. Again, did the refs lose the game for them? No, although that technical foul was one that definitely, you know, came back to haunt them. Illinois had time to overcome that. And the other thing you have to say is you just have to resist trying to put it in somebody's face. You know, I mean, and I know Hawkins wasn't doing anything really that big a deal, but if you dunk the ball and you're going to yell and go, yeah, great job, you need to do it where you're facing away from the other player or some old guy with a whistle is going to get himself on TV. And that seems to be, you know, again, but again, you know, Illinois had their opportunities with layups, free throws, and other things. You know, Brad, I feel like this team is set up to go, you know, now we've got freshmen with a little bit more experience. How does a coach get RJ to feel a little bit better? Do you go to a sports psychologist and hypnotize him? I mean, because I think it's more, you watch his shot. Here's what I'm going to give you guys are both basketball coaches. I'm going to give you my assessment as a guy who's coached a lot of basketball. When I see guys whose form looks good and they miss hard or they miss at the front of the rim or the back of the rim a lot, and then it's also they get the occasional air ball, which is what he's getting. I think two things. One thing is I think that he's practicing a little too slow when he's on his own. Because when you get into a game and you start consistently hitting the front or the back of the rim, that tells me that you're shooting just a little bit faster than you ought to be. And then when you get the air, when you get the air ball, that tells me again, in the game, you're going a little faster than you used to, which means your form isn't quite as repeatable in the game as it is when you're shooting around. And I just think he's got to quicken his pace when he's by himself. Brad, am I nuts there, or this is just amateur coaching 101, you know, discussion here, but throw that at.
I don't think your description, I think, is accurate. Many times that is the case. That's not the case with him. Because I've seen him do his shooting workouts. He has more time in the game than he gets in practice to get a shot off because no one guards him now. I mean, like, literally, he was so open on his first three, he didn't even want to shoot it. He doesn't want to shoot it.
Right, exactly.
Now, his last three, I'll be honest with you, the last three he took, he caught it and he shot because he had to. He yep. didn't have a choice. And people are like, oh, why is he in the – well, one, he was in the game at that point because they were in a full court press because that's what you do when you're down at the end of a game. You put in your best athletes on a full court press like that. That's what you do. So he's wide open at the end because Indiana had a breakdown for some reason, and they left him wide open. But that three, I mean, that was actually the best shot I've seen him take in weeks because he didn't think. He couldn't think.
Didn't have time.
He had to shoot it. Now, he missed it, but it was a good look. And there's nothing you can do to – you can't really complain about that in whatever 5 seconds you get a wide-open shot. And, you know, had it been Sincere Harris, we would have thought the same thing. I mean, they had Dane Danger out of the game, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah, I think that his biggest issue is just mental. And I think your sports psychologist is not a bad idea because it's gotten so bad for him. I will say he's making free throws, but he can't even finish, like, he can't finish layups and dunks. Like, he had you remember last year he ran that same runout play, and he got called for the technical on that play. He was flying through the air. He jumped today, and it looked like he had the elevation of, you know, me. Kendrick. I mean, so, Kendrick, not in your younger days either. Kendrick now. I mean, he could not – he couldn't get off the floor.
He knew he was going to miss it. He knew.
I mean, it's a breakaway.
He was hoping he'd get fouled.
Yeah. And so people say, oh, it wasn't a foul. Well, the guy you can't just go up and whack people on the back. That's not okay when they're shooting. But
yeah.
But it's all mental with him. I mean, he can't even finish a layup, but here's what I'll give him credit for. He's still defending. Like, he did a really good job on Jalen Hood-Schifino today. And Jalen Hood-Schifino went off when he was not in the game at the end. And there was one point Jalen Hood-Schifino was 2 for 12. And I think it was 2 for 12 with 4 turnovers. I mean, and multiple bad decisions or something like that. Now he comes up at the end and he made some big shots, hit some free throws and stuff. And Illinois bailed him out a couple times with fouls. But regardless, I feel like he did a really good job on him. So he needs to start playing because that gives them now an offensive weapon that is also one of your best defenders. So let's hope that happens.
So, Ked, you know, I know you were frustrated on there. Anything that popped out at you that you haven't had a chance to talk about?
Yeah, I want to say this. Brad mentioned something, and I haven't been on the board yet because I'm doing the coaching thing. I'm not doing 24 hours. I may do 2 hours and get on it. So Brad made a comment, and let's think about this. People, I'm assuming, because I know I saw one tweet of me on Twitter, why was RJ in the game at the end of the game? Okay, so think about this. Why, if you're playing defense, because they were playing defense, okay, then they get the ball. And you know what? This is – people question Coach Underwood. I forget what game it was. I know the three of you know where he didn't – oh, it was Iowa City, where he didn't call a timeout. I'm really sorry. RJ got a wide open look today. I mean, how is it any different than Brad Underwood calling a timeout and drawing up a play? I mean, it may have went to somebody else. I mean, I have people say to me, well, why didn't RJ bring the ball up the court to get the ball to Matthew Meyer? Damn it, it's easy to be an armchair quarterback. That's simple to say after the game. We can all sit here and say, well, how come he didn't put Coleman Hawkins in to shoot a free throw for Dane Danger after the fact? I mean, coaching's not that easy. And it's not, and people who can sit here and think that they are, excuse me, that it is, then why aren't you doing it? Or why haven't you done it? Because it is difficult. I'm not going to sit here today. I'm sorry. It stinks. I'm not mad at a single player today. I'm not even mad at RJ, but from a psychology standpoint, he needs to see someone. Today, shooting that last three, he shot in rhythm. I remember in Iowa City, I told you guys after that podcast, he shot that three in the corner and everybody just turned away. They knew it wasn't going to go in. I feel bad for the kid. I truly feel bad for the kid. And for the people out there who are going to criticize that kid because he's going through some things, get a damn life. I mean, get a life. We're going to have something on the line, guys, here pretty soon, and I think people are really going to be surprised. You people sit here, and it's easy to criticize these people because they're great and they've been blessed with sports, but they are still human beings. Do you think RJ Melendez want to miss shots, want to miss layups? Do you think Jay Neves is happy that he missed a free throw today? I mean, that guy he's been masterful as a freshman, masterful at scoring as a freshman. None of us thought he'd even be the starting point guard because we all thought it was going to be Sky Clark, to be honest with you. So it's easy after the fact. Brad, Matt, Steve, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the negativity because you lose. You're going to get in the tournament. This could be under, you know, the John Gross era where you know you're looking for the NIT or you're already looking ahead to recruiting next year. Okay? You're going to have a chance. Brad, you're right. You mentioned you win the next three games. And I'm going to tell you right now, after what I saw today, I like their chances to at least go to Purdue and compete better than what I did a week or two ago.
So we also have that was the voice of Kedrick Prince, of course, the Illini guys director of recruiting. Earlier, you heard Brad Sturdy's melodious voice, one of the Illini guys. And, of course, those two are the two uber insiders, to be honest with you. If you are getting information from anybody else, well, you're just getting secondhand information because Brad and Ked are the ones who get it first. But now we have Matt Stevens, the Illini guys staff writer, who when we played rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock, lost and had to go all the way over to Bloomington, Indiana today. Matt lost and then he gets to go over and watch the Illini. Matt, what were your thoughts here watching that game from somewhere just outside of Earth's orbit at the top of the assembly hall?
If there ever is a definition of drawing the short straw for Matt Stevens, it's going to Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana. I promise you folks, it's not because of the three people that are joining me on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular post-game pod, but I want to get the hell out of here as soon as I can. I always do. My summary, Illinois is not as good as I think they are. Again, we're 2-for-2 now. I understand what he's talking about with the encouragement of how hard his team played. But we're 2-for-2 now on Brad Underwood coming out of an Indiana game. And I don't have a clue as to what the hell he's talking about. Cause there's things that like teams should do to close out a game like this. And they didn't do any of them, you know, secure defensive rebounds, make your free throws, do some of the things that you feel like teams that ought to win games on the road in the Big Ten ought to do. And they didn't do any of them. And I felt like Indiana, because of shot selection and just forgetting for long stretches of time that Trace Jackson Davis was on the floor, kind of was willing to hand the game to Illinois in a very, very, very weird way. Forgetting that Matthew Meyer was on the floor in the first half, might want to guard him. They made that great. They made that defensive adjustment, but it's February 18th. Clock's ticking. This team's going to have to get a lot more, you know, they're going to have to shore some things up real quick in order to beat really, really good teams that you're going to see in postseason play. If we've already melted this season down to 2 weeks, can Illinois get to the second weekend of the tournament? Everybody's done it. And they did. Most people did it in October. If Illinois doesn't do certain things, they're not going to do what you want them to do, because there are things that you have to do in order to win those types of games. And I felt like for a large part of it today, Illinois shorthanded, and I'll give you that, You don't have Terrence Shannon, and everybody's sick, apparently. But there are a lot of things that this team just takes for granted and doesn't do, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch.
I have to ask, though, and I get this. Yeah. They're playing the team that's ranked 13th in the country in the latest bracket release on the road. Got called for one of the biggest bullshit technicals I've ever seen to give Indiana 2 points in the first half. And they lose the game by essentially 1 point.
Right.
How is that? I mean, we can say Indiana gave the game to Illinois, but maybe it was because Illinois did a good job of not allowing Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, we can say Indiana left Matthew Meyer open, but when Trace Jackson's, you know, you can't have it both ways. I mean, this is it's a road game in the Big Ten against the number 13 team in the country based on that, number 14 in AP, whatever. And they're going to move up because Kansas State, if they win, they'll probably drop down. Because they lose, they'll probably be a one seed next week because they keep losing and moving up the rankings. I can't figure that one out. But anyway, so I'm not very negative about this team right now because you're playing on the road without your guy and your leading scorer scores 17 points a game and you have a chance to win down the stretch. Now, I agree with you they have to do some things differently, but I also think that you have essentially guys that haven't played in these situations making these decisions. So I don't know, and it's really tough. So I think that's where they run into trouble. I mean, you've got, you know, if Epps makes that free throw, maybe they win. I mean, you can take it. You got a freshman. If Dane Danger's going against Trace Jackson Davis is tough. He did some good things at times, but he also was a turnover machine. Coleman Hawkins.
If they call a class or whatever they call it, the class one foul when Sincere got hit in the face.
Yeah.
On a no call when he got decked and even Robbie Hummel.
Yeah, they actually broke it down after the timeout, and they talked about how they're unclear
how
you missed that call.
Yeah, I mean, he got hit across the face with a hand and even a little bit of an elbow slash forearm.
So I thought Illinois in the first half really dominated the game and should have been up by more. And up through they led from the nine-minute mark until the last, you know, 2 minutes of the game or whatever. So for almost about 30 minutes, they led the game. So I'm not that negative about this one. And I know you have to win some games, but when you look at the schedule, this was probably preseason Purdue has evolved. This was the toughest game on your schedule all year. I mean, on the road at Indiana, who was a preseason top 10 team and is now, you know, for like, they're playing like it. And so I'm not as negative maybe as you are about this loss, because
my pushback, Brad, is that the acknowledgement here is that I will tell you, I am trying to have it both ways. I don't think Indiana's that great. I'll be honest with you. I think Trace is having an awesome season. I don't think Indiana's that great. So let's start there. And two.
Okay, then I'll follow up with that one. Then who is great? Is Kansas State great?
I don't know.
Iowa State great? Who is great? Is Texas great? Is UCLA great? Because Illinois already beat those teams. So who's great? I mean, I don't think there's a great team. So they're still, you can say they're not great, but they're still there. And they're a top 15 team in the country. On every metric. So they're still, maybe not great, but they're the best we have in college basketball this year.
Right. I guess the expectation bar was here's what I'll acknowledge, is I guess the expectation bar for me was too high. Because I thought, you know, this team has the potential to finish. I mean, they could get on a run here. You know, I think they've got, what they got, two or three left. I mean, they've got a two-game homestand here that they probably ought to and should take.
And then they've got Michigan at home and they're at Ohio State. So they've got the next four games are all games that you would expect to win.
Sure. And if they do, then they're not going to do this, but there's a potential for them to finish 8th, 9th, or 10th in the Big Ten. And that wasn't what I thought was going to happen here, like on February 18th. That's not what I was prepared to see at this point. And so
So here's the thing that I would argue, and this is going to get a little esoteric. And by the way, for those of you not watching, we're getting to watch Matt getting shooed out of all areas of Assembly Hall. Apparently, the Indiana folks are not happy with Matt being around there. But anyway,
not allowed to be in Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. Matt has there's some sort of warrant to get Matt out of the state after 3 hours. but
poor Matt.
Here's my part, and this is interesting things. So fans, I am a process guy, which means after some losses, I am not as upset as other fans, and after some losses, I may be inconsolable. When I look at the processes that Illinois took today, they went 12. You know, they shot relatively well at the free throw line. They ended up, you know, again, they ended up for the game 14 for 18, 77%. You'd like them to be at 80. And obviously two more free throws would have won them the game, but that didn't happen. They had their turnovers at 11. They played without Terrence Shannon. The biggest thing that I saw today was one of their strengths that they're usually good at is in the paint. They missed a lot of layups today, which is typically not what this team does. And they got a supercharged start on the 3-point line. So at which held, again, they ended up 30%. They were at 60%, you know, at one point in the game. So what I look at is I say, okay, this team did a lot of things right today. And we saw Ty Rogers stepping up. We saw, Luke Goody score 7 points against a team that didn't want him. And we saw some of that. Even RJ Melendez played excellent defense on Hood Schifino, who people know is a hell of a slasher. And they did it again without their top player. So to me, from a process standpoint, I'm looking at it and I'm saying the process was good. The result wasn't exactly what I want, but I can live with the process being good, not great, notice. And I think a lot of fans, they immediately look at the result. They go, we lost. I'm pissed off. So then they go down and try to figure out what they don't like. And I tend to do it the opposite way. I look at the process and then I look at the result. To me, there was a lot of small victories in this game. And now they've got the next 4 games to turn the process, get it a little better so that the result is what you want. Brad, I'll let you go first and then Matt and then Ked.
So you're going to be that. You're like the meme. Trust the process.
Well, you know what? Some of that comes from coaching a lot and from being a training manager.
No, and I agree with you. I think especially – now, here's the problem. At the end of the day, the process matters when you get to March. I mean, the process doesn't matter once you get to March. It's win the game or move on.
Right, exactly correct.
So I agree with you. I think that, and like I was saying earlier, I think the fact that they got some good stuff out of those guys, but they also get so much inconsistency from those young guys.
Yep.
I mean, and you see not having a backup center who, I mean, Brandon Lieb came in and played 7 minutes. He had 3 defensive rebounds. But I will tell you that he should have had multiple opportunities to just go dunk a ball because they'd penetrate and shoot it and everybody's flying to block shot. He's the only guy in the lane, but he can't get to the ball. You know, so those are things where he's just limited athletically. So you need somebody maybe a little better. But I thought they got some good. Sincere Harris will do something great. And then he does something bad. Ty Rogers, you know, he had been playing really well. I thought he made some really good, did some really good things today. He also did some really bad things. I thought, you know, RJ, same thing. I thought Epps, same thing. You know, I thought Meyer, honestly, he played pretty well. I think he got exhausted because he's not used to playing 36 minutes, and that's a lot of minutes for him, especially when you're constantly having to have the ball. I mean, if you play 28 minutes and have the ball, that extra 8 minutes of always having possessions, and he had to block shots, and he's guarding Trace at times. It was tough. Coleman Hawkins has to be more aggressive, especially. Yep. So here's my question. Why is Sincere Harris taking 4 shots, Ty Rogers taking 7 shots, and RJ Melendez taking 6 shots, and Coleman Hawkins 3 for 3 with 3 shots.
Yeah.
With the ball.
With 2 passed up dunks that he could have just turned around and.
And I think two of his dunk was fantastic. And he shouldn't get, maybe his phrase going to get teed up if he shot. I don't know. Maybe he was conditioned. Now I'm going to get a technical if I shoot it. So I can't shoot. But he had, you know, 2 of his 3 shots were dunks. Right. And so I just don't understand. He has to be more aggressive offensively. When he's aggressive offensively, Illinois is a better team. So I think that's where they have to make that next step. He's got to be more aggressive on offense. Dayton, it's a bad matchup. Trace Jackson Davis has really become, to me, he's the most, and I know he was really good last year, he's the most improved player to me in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Edie just didn't get to play as much because they had Travion Williams. But I think Trace Jackson Davis has completely improved his game. He's changed his game. He's become a facilitator.
Yeah.
He's become a passer. He's become a guy who can, he uses his quickness. And defensively, he blocks everything. I mean, his coverage on defense is fantastic. So I was really impressed, you know, with him. But I thought Illinois competed, and you know, they got to get more consistency from those other guys if they're gonna, you know, advance the tournament. And they can get, you know, moments and things like that. The other part is, I thought that second half stretch, it seemed like where they had multiple opportunities to open that game up. And yeah, Indiana had multiple opportunities to chime away. Nobody scored forever. It was like but they did. They were settling for shots that they shouldn't have been taking. You know, since Sears, you know, the I don't know what that was, the reverse layup thing. Ty had the no look shot. You know, again, a couple of those. Then since Sears shoots the pull up mid range jump shot, we know how much Underwood loves the mid range jumper anyway. Much less with Sincere Harris shooting it, right? So. Early in the shot clock, made no sense. So those are the kind of things that those are all during a stretch when Illinois could have been up double figures. Now, right. Indiana's really chasing at the end of the game, and it makes it really hard. So I thought that's where the game could have changed, and I think that's where Illinois has to just get better at.
I agree, Matt.
I want to dovetail off of Brad's point. I looked down at the box, the final box, and I went, "Huh, Coleman went 3 for 3." And then your second reaction is, wait a minute, he only took 3 shots? And then you go look at, like, the stat broadcast, and after he gets the technical, he sat for 6.5 minutes. And I'm not here to, like, pepper the coaching staff, but, like, Coleman was in a 6.5-minute stretch where I know damn good and well that Indiana got some second-chance points on that. Coleman was doing a really good job using his length to at least get you the defensive rebound, which, by the way, as we all know, ends a defensive possession. Like, your defensive possession does not end until you get the ball. Like, and I thought Indiana got a lot of stuff off of 50-50 balls that Illinois didn't secure in the second half. And there's your ball game. And then Coleman gets back in the game, and now he's been sitting for 6.5 minutes. And as we all know, Coleman likes to play his way back in, and that doesn't mean he's going to be really, really offensively aggressive at the start. So that's kind of why Coleman, I guess, only had three field goals. As God is my witness, guys, and I'm not here to pepper the coaching staff because I don't think that they necessarily did a bad job today. In fact, I thought they did a really, really good job of working with what they had. I was glad that Brad mentioned the 7 minutes from Brandon Lee because statistically and analytically, he was a net zero. So awesome. 7 minutes of a net zero of Brandon Lee is what you want, right? Like, that was exactly what you're looking for. Especially if Dane Danger is going to be turnover happy and foul happy. You've got to get some minutes. You've got to buy some minutes somehow. But as God is my witness, when they came out of that timeout, okay, and I noticed that RJ was on the floor, I literally sat there to Scott Ritchie, turned to my left and said, they just put RJ in the game. They don't have a timeout anymore. He might take the last shot. As God is my witness, I said it. And I get what they're trying to do, but as my great grandfather once said, all God's children would have loved to have had Luke Goody take that shot instead of RJ Melendez.
But you wouldn't have want Luke Goody playing full court man to man.
No, you wouldn't have. You absolutely wouldn't have.
But they ran out of timeouts for that.
Which is why after the first trap, they were supposed to foul and not give up the breakaway, but they didn't foul.
According to Matthew Meyer, Here's the weird part about it. And Matthew might be lying. I get it. You got a lot of sometimes I get it. They got into a situation, Brad, where Matthew Meyer says, no, we really weren't supposed to foul. Now we're trying to get a 10-second.
Right. And, well, and once they got the initial trap, but once they got out of the trap, then they were supposed to foul, but they couldn't get to anybody.
They couldn't get the trace before we got the dunk.
Yeah,
I get all of that. I really, really do. My problem is that, like, there's no way. And the whole, like, hey, he was wide open. They just ran at Matthew Meyer because they thought he was going to take a 35-footer in the corner, near the sideline. Like,
well, they would rather give up a wide open shot to RJ than let Matthew Meyer shoot a contested 28-footer.
Right.
Same here. I'd make the same decision.
I think it was a good decision by Indiana.
Nobody played this badly, but I sat there and I went, oh boy, like, are you going to regret that substitution?
Yeah.
And hindsight being 2020, they probably got what they wanted defensively and just didn't get the foul and didn't get the steal. But the freshmen are really frustrating right now. And good and bad, right? Because, like, Ty Rogers did a lot of good things in that first half that you want him to be able to do going forward. And there are times where, like, okay, so they're coming out. I remember also they're coming out of Brad's timeout. I think they had like 9 seconds left on the shot clock. All right. Everybody kind of remembers this. They're running a play to Matthew Meyer and he never touched the ball. You know why he never touched the ball? Because Jaden Epps never got him the basketball. And I know that Sturdy's talked about this before, but it's stuff like that where they draw it up and they say, this is what I want you to do. And then they don't do it.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't like
that's why Underwood was chewing him out on the sideline the one time. It's because he said, that's your job. And so he's just not a point guard. And they've got a square peg in a round hole right now. And he's a good player. Epps is a really good player, so I'm not blaming him. Even the last possession. So they ran the play for Meyer, and he couldn't get it. Even the possession when Epps got fouled, Meyer was supposed to get the ball then too. But Epps, instead of throwing the ball to him, he went to the basket. Now he got the foul, but some would say maybe he got bailed out there too. So, yeah.
And then Ty Rogers does so many good things, and you cannot foul a jump shooter right there. Like, you have to know, like, he's three of forever. Like, he's not – and guys, look, go back and watch the replay. There's no chance he was going to make that pull-up.
No chance.
Like,
well, he'd already contested the shot. If he'd have just flew by with his arms in the air, he wouldn't have made it. But he swiped down, and they're going to call that a foul when you swing down like that.
Yeah.
Ted, any thoughts on this since you've been we've kind of wrestled all the airtime away from you?
No, that's okay. I will just make one little comment since, you know, you're right. They just stole my thunder. No, just kidding. Matt's right. The 50-50 balls, I never mentioned, but that was very frustrating to me today. And I don't know. Some people said that it's basketball guy. Some people say it's effort. Today, flip a coin. I don't know what the hell it was. But those matter. I mean, they, you know, when you don't – there was twice, I remember. And I'm going to watch the game again because I'm a loser like that. There was twice today in the first half they didn't get 50-50 balls. Indiana made 3 points. Two three-point field goals on those.
And there were three times, and there were 7 points worth in the second half. And I will tell you that Illinois got the ball. And this is what's frustrating to me. Illinois touched the ball between their waist and their shoulders because their hands weren't quite up that high and ended up getting a ball deflected. Like, Trace Jackson Davis got one on the left block. He was essentially blocked out, but the ball hit down low on an Illini player, and Trace Jackson just came in his hands. He goes in and puts it in. You know, there's a shot. Another one got rotated out for a 3-point shot on the left-hand side. And to me, when the ball ricochets off of you, when your hands are between your waist and your shoulders, that tells me your hands aren't up. And that's one thing on this defense that they play really good defense, you know, 10th in efficiency in the country. But there are times when you see guys who aren't in stances when the ball isn't in front of them, and you see where their hands aren't ready for the rebound. And those are some of the stuff. It is the little things that are frustrating. And when you put all those things together, you know, Illinois could have won this game. but they missed layups. They missed a few free throws. They weren't prepared on a few of those things. And, you know, it ends up being a loss. But this Indiana team, I don't think they're that good. But in this particular season with Trace Jackson Davis, they are going to be a handful for any team in the country when it comes into March. And if you can stay toe-to-toe and you're not playing your best game, it gives Illini fans hope. But Coach Underwood's got to figure out, how do I get these guys to dot I's and cross T's? And that's going to be the challenge. Go, Ken.
Mike, I have to kind of agree with Brad, and I'm not disagreeing with you and Matt. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was Matt. I'm not sold on Indiana. I'm just not. I think, you know, Kobe's in the past, and we can't live in the past. But if he plays today, Illinois wins that game by 15 points. I don't know in the tournament, because I don't think Indiana's great offensively. I really don't. Now, granted, they dominated Illinois and when they were Champaign, but Illinois made adjustments. I don't think their perimeter game is that great.
No, it's not.
I don't think their guard play is that good. If I had to bet my house on Illinois Indiana, you know, in the tournament, I would bet on Illinois just because I think they're a better team. I think Trace is a good player, and he made some tough shots today. Some of his shots today, it looked like he just pulled them out of a hat, you know. And to me, one guy's not going to win a game for you like that. And you look at Illinois, that's why they lost in the tournament last year. Trent was struggling last year, and all Illinois really had was Kofi. You're not going to win like that in a tournament. And that's why, like, you look at Illinois, they have a lot of offensive weapons, you know. But some of it, too, though, you got to get the right matchups. You got to have the ball break your way. You know, you got to stay healthy. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, Shannon Jr. had a concussion. How do we know if he's going to play Monday, you know, because, you know, when they play Minnesota? So who knows? I mean, they're all a part of the game. They are. Now, I will make this one comment about the freshmen. I know it's frustrating to watch them play. But I see growth, and there's no difference than Jaden Epps missing an assignment, because I'm going to tell you, Terrence Shannon has done the same thing, and he's 35 years old. Matthew Meyer has missed assignments. You know, without Jaden Epps, Illinois season, they don't have 17 wins. I'm sorry. I don't see that. You get your butt kicked in Iowa City. I thought he came up huge today. I think now moving forward, today, even though he wasn't great, but you see the future. If Ty Rogers, and I'm still talking to Deion Thomas, we're talking today. If Ty Rogers can develop a 17-foot jump shot, guarantee you're going to see his name in the first round of the NBA draft picks next year. If he continues to develop the little parts of his game. He played point guard today. Now, granted, it was kind of a generic point guard because he brought the ball up the court. But Underwood always talked about that. You see him. He's versatile. I mean, there was times that he was guarding Trace Jackson Davis. That guy is a very, very important piece to this team moving forward. I mean, he really and truly is. I like the group. I think it's a good freshman class. I think it balances itself out well. And hopefully they don't struggle, you know, with the sophomore struggle the way RJ has this year. And they'll be able to, you know, to take that next leap, meaning Dane Danger, Sincere, and Jaden Epps. Because the last thing Illinois needs next year is for those guys to struggle the way RJ has this year as a sophomore.
So quick question, Brad. Illinois now in the last 3 years has had four guys miss games with concussions. Obviously, Curbelo did his in a pre-conference game. Kofi, and Shannon Jr. have all had concussions. And during the Big Ten season, were any of the three who had concussions, were any of those called a foul?
They were not.
Isn't that amazing?
And now I'm assuming Harris is going to be out.
Well, that was where I was going. So way to steal my thunder, Brad.
Oh, no, there's no foul calls. I mean, you know, they don't. Here's the problem with the Big Ten officiating. And I'm going to lay it all out here. The problem is this. They want to let them play. And I get it. They want to let people play. The problem is you have to figure out what you're going to call, and they can't. Well, we don't want to call this. Well, then we let people get karate chopped across the head or get, you know, raked across the arm, and we don't call it because we're letting them play. And so you can't rein it back in. And so what happens, just like you said, Mike, they're going to let them play. Well, then in the second half, we decide we're going to call some fouls. Oh, well, now we call and we shoot all these free throws. Same thing happened at Iowa, if you remember. And it's like, it's just not good officiating. The whole style of play takes everything out of it. They need to call the fouls. I'm not saying they call like an illegal screen that has nothing to do with the play. They call a hand check when a guy's dribbling out 40 feet from the basket. But under the basket, they let people kill each other. It makes no sense. And you got to protect shooters. You got to protect those guys. And I get you don't want them grabbing and holding. But it's just gotten crazy because they allow it to happen. And then there's no consistency because you don't know when to call a foul.
Well, how does the first half, and I'll let Ked answer this one, but how was the first half where they called, 12 fouls so much easier to referee than the second half when they call 21? I mean, to me, it's like this is the second or third game in a row where literally there's literally an opposite. You go in at halftime and it's almost like there's a hotline from the Big Ten going, call more fouls. But yet in the first half, it wasn't ungodly physical.
Well, I have an answer for that. I really do. And I learned this. I mean, I got to talk to Ed Hightower last week when he was in Champaign. And then I think I saw a segment on the Big Ten Network, not to plug them. But the officials don't go in at halftime like they used, like in high school, where they put their feet up and get some lemonade and get a couple Scooby snacks. They get their iPads out. And there's plays that they go over that they review when coaches complain about a call. Like the one call where they called a foul on, I think it was Ty Rogers, and the ball went out of bounds in Indiana. They look at that stuff. So when they see the mistakes that they make the first half and then when coaches are complaining, I think it's automatically in their mind where they revert to, well, we got to clean this up or we got to make this call or that call. Because they are all required now to go in to do that, the three of them, to review the game film. So maybe that's why. I don't know if that's the answer. I know right now, being late in the season, talking to Ed Hightower last week, he talked about, because if you look at the middle of the Big Ten, it's cluttered, and everybody's fighting. So Illinois needed this win today, but so did Indiana. We can all make excuses for multiple reasons. So the stakes are high. To me, the stakes should be high for them too. They should be held accountable. I know I'm not hosting this podcast, and Matt, it's kind of tough for you to answer this because you don't have the opportunity for replays. But I want to ask you guys, what do you think the worst call of the day was, or technical foul, the worst call of the day that was game-changing? It wasn't Coleman's technical for me. To me, personally, it was a Ty Rogers foul where Ryan Underwood freaked out. That call, to me, made me want to pull out the 6 hairs I have left on my head. That was just a horrible call.
About the hip check, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to
see,
make sure we knew.
For me, I'll answer that, Ked. I'll go first because here's my thought. I get missing calls when it's full speed and you're trying to read a play, see a play, and it's flash. It happens fast. These guys are freakish athletes. It's crazy. The technical foul call is basically a dead ball call where you are calling that. That's the worst call because that can't happen. You cannot decide a game. And I get they want to take taunting out of the game. That wasn't even taunting. And he got hit on that dunk too. Hawkins got hit on that
yes,
one too.
Yes,
that's
did.
What he said.
Yes,
I got hit
did.
In the face. So that's the call for me that is the worst because you can miss something in the speed of the game. You don't blow your whistle and you're thinking, shit, I should have called that. But when you blow your whistle and give a guy a technical on a play that has no bearing or impact on the game, it's stupid. The same thing with the hang on the rim technical on RJ last year. It's just stupid. And the fact that anybody makes those calls, like, I am so against those types of things. Like, I just hate that. That's not basketball. I would rather them give a technical when a guy throws an elbow and hits a guy in the head or when a guy does something like that. I mean, we've seen it. We had a Big Ten coach grab an opposing player coming on the court in the middle of play, and we heard nothing about it. But Coleman Hawkins got a technical because he was happy because he dunked. And Trace Jackson Davis even said it was a joke, basically. He said, it's great. He said, that's the emotion of the game. That is the problem right there. There's no accountability for certain people. Hey, I'll tell you what. You think if Brad Underwood grabbed another player on another team that they'd be okay with that? Juwan Howard?
Yes, exactly.
You know what happened? I mean, I don't get it. I can say, well, it didn't impact the game. I don't care. It's not okay. And so now I'm ranting on a different topic, but it just goes to show you the Big Ten's a joke.
He's laying on the ground, clearly saying, and you saw the replay, them grabbing his arm on the foul, and then you call a jump ball. You know what? I know people don't want to hear, and you know we don't. This podcast can last another 40 days because we've seen it in football. I just think they need to, whatever the answer is, and Ed Hightower said they're never going to go to full-time officials. And I know, you know, Matt, me and you and Mike, we've had comments about this forever. It's never going to happen. But damn it, I want to get out of the Big Ten. And Matt, you're probably right. The officiating is probably not the greatest in other conferences, but I'm sick of seeing these dudes. I'm telling you, if they don't want to go to a tournament and get cheated and they get screwed over, I'm probably going to be okay with them. But these dudes right here, I'm sick of seeing them. I really am. I'm sitting there with about 300 people today, and I want to take my walking cane and just throw it through a window because I'm sick of watching them. I'm sick of watching it. I just am. I'm over it.
Matt, you can go. I know it's tough to listen to us.
No, my dad put an Illinois basketball in my crib when he brought me home from Danville Hospital. And the first thing he taught me was when Illinois goes to Assembly Hall, it's 5-on-8, and you got to beat Indiana by at least 10 more. You got to be 10 more points better than Indiana. That was the first lesson I was ever taught. So I'm a little bit, I've actually thought knowing that as how I wrap my head around Illinois playing at Indiana today, I actually didn't think the officiating was like too unbelievably crimson and cream, if that makes
sense. That's because you were sitting 5 miles up in the stadium. It was hard to see.
No, I'll tell you what it is, Kat.
I'm kidding.
If IU fans are as pissed as you are right now, and they were in the second half over the officiating, then I know that it was probably evenly bad, both ways, like at the very, very least. To respond to Brad's rant on the technical, yeah, it was bad. It was really, really bad. But I'll give my theory on it. I think it was a reputation technical. I honestly believe those guys have decided Coleman Hawkins has shown us up the whole year. We're going to get him. Like, and I'm telling you right now, Coleman Hawkins has never committed a foul all year long. He's never traveled all year long. And he's never done anything that he's ever been whistled for all year long.
So that makes him like half the players in the Big Ten.
Right. And so
I think he shows more faces. And he does. He has that reputation.
He does show people up on national television that are wearing stripes. And I honestly believe they've decided, just like they did with Carbello last year when he did the palms up thing every time he got whistled for a foul, and he did foul, we're going to get him.
That's the level of pathetic that if that's what you're gonna hire is some old 55-year-old man whose ego is so into it that he can't take a 20-year-old making a face at him. No offense, but they don't deserve the whistle. I've refereed before. I don't really care. I'll be honest with you. I don't care what a kid says to me. Now, where I was horrible as a ref is if a coach said something to me. And I would literally a coach would say something to me and I'd just go boom like that. And he'd go argue. And I'd say, man, keep going. Cause you're out of the game in like 5 seconds.
Let me ask you this.
I'll make you the argument, Cagley, that like I used to watch NBA games, you know, as a younger man. And I know people who would not put money on a game that Joey Crawford was refereeing because they knew something screwy was going to happen.
And that's the whole Big Ten.
Remember when Tim Duncan got a technical for looking funny on the bench? Yeah. They gave Duncan
right.
a technical.
If it can happen at the highest level of basketball, then it can happen at the Big Ten. It can happen in the OVC. It can happen. And it can happen in the Sun Belt. You know what I mean?
I think you're both right, and I think Mike's right too because that shouldn't happen. I think you're right that it is happening, but I also think that that shouldn't happen. Just call the game. You know, I mean, and that's where it will help. Getting away from Big Ten officials. the guys that you see all year because they see him all the time.
Well, the other thing is
the kids, right, as well. No,
to be honest, though, that's where, like, for instance, I spent the first 20 years of my career in sales. I've been called things, thrown out, you know, all sorts of stuff because nobody likes a salesman. We're right there with politicians and lawyers in terms of popularity. So it never bothered me, but I got to be honest with you, and I know it's probably not going to happen, but the Big Ten has $1.3 billion a year coming, and it's all based on the television product of football and basketball. So get full-time referees, train them, rank them, pay them a ton of money so that they don't have to be gypsies going across the country, taking games exhausted. And I'll tell you, the other thing is I would say, you know, go ahead and if you need a fourth ref, either put them on the floor or put them at the video and have a ref go, hey, dude, clearly that was a bad call, and fix it right there. None of this waiting 10 minutes. But, you know, if Sturdy's the fourth guy and he sees that Harris got punched in the face or that Trace Jackson Davis got drilled in the nuts, you literally just, you know, you press the air horn and you bring over the refs and say foul on 44. And boom, there you are, you're done. And it's a better television product because that's
I want to go back to what Matt said. Matt made a comment about Coleman to put himself in that position. Let me ask the three of you this. In Iowa City, with the minute and 18 seconds to go on the clock, Coleman Hawkins tried to grab a rebound and Chris Murray grabbed his arm. Yep. Nearly a foul. Yep. He freaked out. Today, it was the same situation. He laid on the ground and he showed the official up. And when you saw when you saw it live, the angle that we saw on TV didn't look like a foul. But when they showed the replay, I couldn't hear because I was in a bar. He grabbed his arm. It wasn't a jump ball. But when Coleman laid on the ground and he was really demonstrative about him being fouled, I guess I understand what Matt is right. But damn it, call a foul. You're on the baseline. Maybe that's why he's doing it, because you're not calling it. I see both sides because you're not going to – it's not okay. And I'm going to tell you what I'm tired of. I'm tired of the road officials. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter when you go to an opposing arena and then the crowd gets into the game, you got to call a technical foul. I mean, or you got to call a foul because that's what they think. Call what you see. I would like anybody argue that with me. If you don't see it, call it. And because you swipe at someone and you don't touch them, I remember at Penn State – Luke Goody got a foul, and I know he didn't touch him, but he swiped and never touched him. But it looks like a foul. But yet, you're right. You can get sit in the post and shove a guy in his back and kick him in the leg, but then they don't call anything. It's hard to play the game because they don't know what a foul is. And I was glad to see Coach Underwood stick up for his guys today. I'm sick of watching it. And I know Illinois fans or people don't want to hear this, but I love that Shauna Green doesn't do enough of this for Kedrick Prince. But Brett Bielema and Brad Underwood, they chew their asses out, and I love every minute of it because I'm all about that business, because Shauna needs to do that, because I think a couple times last week in Maryland, she didn't do anything. She's a sweetheart. Brett Bielem has done it enough. I wish he'd do it for the basketball coaches because they need to be held accountable. Coaches are being held accountable. Coleman was held accountable with technical foul today. How are you being held accountable? In the tournament last year, yeah, the guy apologized. I probably shouldn't have called a technical foul on RJ. Guess what? It does nothing. You still called it, and he got the technical foul. Hold them accountable.
Brad?
You're preaching to the choir, Ked. You are preaching to the choir.
Any other final thoughts, Brad, before we have to break this huddle?
Yeah, so, no, here's my thing. I think Illinois now, you have everything you need is in front of you. It's a tough loss. The last two, you know, a couple of these road games at Iowa, at Indiana, feel like Illinois outplayed the opponent. Had an opportunity to win and didn't get it done. They're now 1-3 in games decided by 5 points or fewer, which is a little bit concerning, and hopefully they figure that out as we go forward. But everything they need and one is in front of them. They have the next four games. They've got home games with Minnesota, Northwestern, and Michigan, and a roadie at Ohio State. Win those four games and then go into Purdue at the end of the season and see what happens. We've shown they can play in hostile environments. Probably the two toughest places to play outside of Mackey are, you know, well, maybe Rutgers too, although after losing Nebraska, maybe that lost its luster. But I mean, are Indiana and Iowa, two very tough places to play on the road. And yet they went in and they had a chance to win. Now can they close one out? Maybe you get a run, but get to 12-8. If you're 12-8, that's a good year when you lost all five starters from a year before. But you need to take care of business now. We've had our experience. Get it done. Get your seed. I think if they go 4-1 down the stretch here, they're probably looking at they could be a 6 or a 7 in the NCAA tournament. And I'm looking at those 3 seeds right now. Get hot, get the 6 seed, and I'll play any of those 3 seeds, except maybe Arizona. But I think they're going to slide up. But all those other ones, Kansas State, Iowa State, like, what? Yeah, sign me up.
Matt, what are your final thoughts? And then we'll let Ked wrap everything up.
Just to put a bow on what Ked said about, you know, the technical and everything and what Coach Underwood said, I applaud Coach Underwood for saying, you know what? Everything they told me Coleman did, he did. That's not the point. The point is, I don't want that called. Like, he's not claiming that Coleman didn't look at Trace Jackson Davis and drop an F-bomb, because he did. Like, and he's like, everything he did. But it shouldn't be called. And that's why I think it was a reputation thing, because that, just to put a bow on that. I get frustrated. What I have to wrap my head around is I have to flush the Penn State game, because I still think I'm like, and I don't know if I'm different than anybody else, I'm holding on to that Penn State game, because you can't drop that game and not respond with something, a win at Indiana or a win somewhere where you're not supposed to get that win. Too many times this team decides we're better than them and we don't have to do some of the things that winning teams do. And it's frustrating. I'm not saying that they're not playing hard. I'm just saying there are fundamental things that this team isn't doing, especially down the stretch late in games, like after Christmas, that they're not doing, that it's just not registering. And I don't know when that is going to come around. And if it does, then this team's going to be really, really good. But I'm tired of, well, if so-and-so played, then Illinois would have won. Or if this wouldn't have happened, then Illinois would have won. At some point, you are what your record is, and Illinois keeps showing us what they are. And so now they have a month to figure out who they are going into the thing that has been the most important thing about this season since October for Illini fans. And if they don't change some habits, this is going to keep happening, whether it's Indiana or it's Penn State or it's that first round game that you're going to get in the Big Ten tournament or the NCAAs. That's my fear for Illinois, is they keep kind of showing us who they are and how immature, but inexperienced they are in terms of gelling as a team. And it's going to bite them. It bit them today against a team that I think they could have beaten, but they just got swept in the regular season. You know, I think they should have beaten Penn State, but they didn't. They got outclassed. And so eventually this Illinois team is going to have to figure out, if we're better than them, we've got to play better than them. I know it sounds really, really smart and like really, really not smart. And like, it's Noel does Stevens, right? But sometimes this Illinois team just thinks, well, we're just going to walk out there and they're going to know we're more talented, and they're just going to put 10 points on the board before we throw the tip, right? Like, that's what I get frustrated by with this team, is that I do believe that they're maybe the most talented team in the Big Ten. But how's that going to look if they finish 8th in the Big Ten, if you're the most talented team in the Big Ten? That means you underachieved. And for a lot of the year, I feel like Illinois has underachieved. And I don't know if they underachieved today, but this was a win they could have gotten and they just didn't.
Ed? My thing, I have to agree with Matt. The 8 losses is underachieving to me, if that's what they get to. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not happy with that. They were swept by Indiana. Penn State swept them, and it hasn't happened yet, but there's a possible chance that Northwestern could do that as well, because Northwestern is one of the best teams in the Big Ten, probably the second best team in the Big Ten right now. You know, we can talk about if and buts, but the issue is at hand. You got to win. Now it's time. I mean, it really is. I mean, we can talk about 50-50 ball, talk about officiating, we can talk about all those things, but at the end of the day, they did lose. you know, and I know it's frustrating, and fans aren't used to that. You mentioned about the games being close. You know, there was a guy who wore number 11 in Champaign, and all those games that you lost, that you're losing by 2 and 3 points right now, he made the game-winning three or the three to tie it up. They don't have that guy anymore, you know, so I don't know if they're ever going to have that guy again. That's why you have to appreciate the players when they're there. So frustrating loss. Move on to the next one. And hopefully Terrence Shannon can he's back and they can get healthy and they can get a healthy Luke Goody who could knock down some shots for them to maybe it becomes contagious with everybody else. So it stinks. The day is going to be ruined for a lot of people, but the sun's going to come up tomorrow. When it does, just look forward to the women playing on Sunday and then the men on Monday.
Well, Ked, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. And, of course, I'll tell people, you know, when it really comes down to it, every year is a journey, and Ked's right. You have to kind of enjoy the team. And Illinois has some very good players. We have not had the privilege of recruiting somebody quite at Io or Kofi's level when they get into college, but pretty darn good players. This team's going to have to play as a unit, and they're going to have to come together, and they're going to have to find a way to carry that three-point percentage up to about 40% for the rest of the season. And everything will look tremendously better, especially if they keep the turnovers down. So, you know, right now it's been a tough one. And we are going to take a quick break here for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
So that's it for the Illini today. Of course, Monday night they play against Minnesota in a must-win game. The Illini have about four games coming up that they'll probably be favored to win, and they need to do so to climb back up the rankings of the Big Ten and help themselves get a decent seed in the NCAA tournament. Of course, Illini guys, you know, Eye on the Illini, will all be there. So if you go to IlliniGuys.com, you'll get all the stories. Eye on the Illini, you'll get all the recaps of the games. And, of course, listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular across the state of Illinois. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can find out where our two-hour weekly sports extravaganza is being aired. You find the city closest to you, the day of the week, either Friday or Saturday, and what time we're on, and you can listen to the Sports Spectacular. Nothing gets you more prepared for the weekend than the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. With that, this is Mike Kegley saying, go Illini.
Save big at Menards. Discovering the perfect paint for your home has never been easier with Zinsser Smart Coat. Plan smart with interactive tools at smartcoat.com. Buy smart, in-store or online, for home delivery. And paint smart with this advanced paint and primer in one. Save big on Zinsser Smart Coat at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big.